listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to our Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver. And in today's podcast, we are chatting to the incredible Norfolk Wonder Woman, that is Fiona Burridge. Hi, Fiona. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to speak today. Thank you.
Fiona is creative director and founder of vegan body care brand SOP, Scented Place, and lifestyle brand Norfolk. Fiona is also host to a retreat, the Water Cabin, set within the Broads National Park. She is also co-founder of co-working space Studio Inn, an all-inclusive football club called Left Field, if that wasn't enough. Fiona, we have got such a lot to talk about today. You've built your companies and your passion projects within a framework of a more simplistic and intentional way of living. So I'm really interested to talk to you about how you combine this workload with your life.
That's a really good question. I think just generally over the last decade, I have found that I just trust my instincts. So if I've got a piece of design work or an image that I'm editing, so I think that's a big part, is that I guess as we all do, we're kind of improving our own productivity, and I analyse and I question things. So if something isn't working, how can I make it more streamlined? Because my other background is project management, so processes is really important. And although I don't enjoy structure, I see the importance of structure. And then when it comes to, I suppose, Left Field was born out of this need to release. And I think having that balance of, I love what I do and that feeds my creativity. So work doesn't feel like work, not all the time, but a large part of that. And then having the kind of the time with friends and family outside, I think that's probably what keeps me sane during what has been obviously a challenging 18 months.
I think that's the really interesting point. And I think lots of creative people feel that way, that they don't like structure, but you need that process, don't you, to funnel 100%. That creativity. Otherwise, there's just so many ideas going on at once.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't ever sit down and think, oh, I'm going to design a new product or I'm going to come up with a new name. Everything sort of happened organically, and it's been as a need. Something sparked that idea. I wouldn't be able to work as Bobby does, working on people's brands. I like these, like Left Field came because the name of that came because I was speaking to a friend and I said, I just need something that's alternative, something that's a bit Left Field. And she was like, oh, you've got it. And I was like, oh, no, I said, I've got it. And it was just an organic conversation. So I think that's the best way.
I think that highlights, doesn't it, surrounding yourself with creative people, because you didn't have someone to go, there you are, that's the name.
Yeah.
It's those people that you feed off and that they feed off you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scented Place, this is a beautifully designed vegan range of body care products. And I love that it just celebrates and embraces the Norfolk landscape, the biodiversity. How did you, we've talked about the process that you have, but how did you take your idea from that passion that you talk about to the product?
I'm sure we'll talk about this in a little while, but we have a holiday let, the Water Cabin. And when that was finished, I said, this property doesn't smell like it looks. And Bobby was like, what do you mean? And I said, well, everything visually works, but the next sense, the sense of place, wasn't there. I had this idea that people could come and stay at the cabin, but then they could also take away part of it, or if they didn't live in Norfolk or couldn't get to the cabin, they could acquire that overseas. Sense of Place was kind of born out of the cabin. The name was always Sense of Place, as in spelled S-C-E-N-T-S. And when I said it to Bobby, he said, oh, there's absolutely no way that that will exist as a business that you can call it Sense of Place. Someone's got to have thought of it. I mean, there are, we checked, we've done trademarking, there was some, but there wasn't in that way. And then I said, well, actually, that's quite wordy. I'm going to have to explain it and have to spell it. And then I reduced it down to SOP. So suddenly that we had this kind of really short acronym that was quite recognisable. The typeface sort of designed itself, because I knew, being quite round, that we needed a face that was quite round. And then the next problem was trying to find a manufacturer, because everyone I spoke to completely dismissed me. You know, you haven't got industry experience. And I said, Norfolk, which was, I'm sure we can talk about, was as another brand, and I did children's wear within that. So I said, I understand how trade works. I understand how we sell to consumers. I've got experience of selling, just not in cosmetics. I need you to work with me. And one woman, Nikki in Brighton, really was really quite rude to me on the phone, and just basically hung up in the end, because she's like, just you don't know enough, you'll never get there.
I'm quite cross at Nikki there.
I know,
especially to judge, you know, if you, where's the entrepreneurship, where's the innovation in saying sorry, no, we'd never do anything.
But interestingly, I saw Instagram brought up a tile that said, you know, how many people have had to have that no and carried on. And it was, I did feel like she used every acronym that I wasn't aware of what it meant at the time, and I thought, she's right, I don't know these things. And then, you know, after a day or two, you're like, no, I know this is a great idea. I know how this is going to look. I can see this is going to work. And then I was talking, I found somewhere in Peterborough, but it couldn't do exactly what I wanted. And I'd almost half accepted that that was going to be my only route. And then talked to a friend having coffee, and then she was like, my boyfriend's dad does it, why don't you have a chat with him? Fast forward 18 months later, that's my manufacturer, and he's kind of been on the journey with me. So it's, I've obviously learned a lot in the last 18 months. Everything, for example, is a fashion and a trend. People are a lot more loyal to a shampoo, a conditioner, a body wash if you like the scent, or it does what you need it to do as a product. So the kind of customer retention is a lot longer than it would be in a fashion-based business, and there's less having to redesign it. It's more about reinventing how it's used in different locations. It feels like it's an easier industry to work in, which wasn't intentional. As I say, it came from the cabin, but I'm kind of excited about the potential for this because it's exactly what is my passion. It's also not this every single ethical part that I can put into this, as in we use aluminium bottles, it's all made within a small supply chain, I want to be a B Corp company, all these things. I can really make it what I want it to be. Yes, I'm excited about the next year.
It is exciting, and I think there's a beautiful synchronicity with your creativity that it just comes from, actually, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
I want to create something that does that, and it's organic design that I love. Yeah. And I think you're so right. It's not about having a product for a season like fashion. It's this is for life, and it's we say lifestyle, to make your life work and calm. That's, you know, you're creating things to allow that. I think that's so important. Yeah.
And actually, in these products, I should say, each of them are made. So each is made from essential oils. They have a very tangible aromatherapy benefit. Some people may not be aware of is each of the products named after a Norfolk dialect word. Well, not one of the words from Norfolk dialect. So you might be able to tell I'm not from Norfolk. I'm from Essex. But I love that it's putting a kind of a positive, I don't want to use the word spin, but a positive take on something that sometimes is criticised, you know, having a Norfolk accent or using dialect words. The shampoo's called Smur, which is a Norfolk word for fine rain or drizzle, which is that sort of feeling. So the essential oils were chosen to embody that feeling when you have a shower, you know, when the shower comes down and how you feel invigorated. The body wash is called Dean, which is a Norfolk word for a beach or a sandy stretch of coastline. So it's that feeling when you go to the beach. The hand wash is called Beck, which is obviously a small stream or river. And then the conditioner is called Loke, which is a remote pathway, but we're sort of saying it's kind of that part. It's the last part. It conditions your soul. It nourishes you as you, the last part of the process. And I've got about 4 other names that are for new products as well, using that same sort of concept. I think it is, it very much is, it's, I'd call it a well-being brand because it's at the core of what we actually is in the product. But then it's also every single part of this should make you feel like afterwards, once you've used it, you feel better. And so a big part of the content planning around this has been reaching out to those other businesses and for them to provide information. So I spoke to someone 2 weeks ago who talks about the moon and the and how cyclical living is really important for women a lot, but also about working with the seasons and the dark moon and the full moon. So I'm going to be sharing content with people that might enhance, or just a small way of practice or of thinking. So we've done a yoga session, a breath work session. So that's part of what SOP will be doing in its wider. We're giving people information about how to lead, you know, a more balanced lifestyle.
And also from lockdowns, that's a lifestyle that people want. Your health and your well-being are just so important, absolutely, aren't they? I love the embracing of the Norfolk words. People look at you differently or they, you know,
it's a negative,
It's the same if you're from Birmingham, isn't it? Or Manchester, people make an assumption. We're so proud of living here. We live in a lovely county. Lockdown has shown us we live in the best place because 100%. Beaches.
One of our prints that we've done is says slow you down, which is obviously, I've seen that on signs up here. And it's exactly one of those things which, maybe because I'm a little bit further away and not too close to this, that I can see kind of the beauty in these words, and I don't bring with it any of the having lived here or grown up here. So I think they're the things that should be celebrated, and they're the things that you don't want to die out, because that's what makes Norfolk Norfolk.
You know, there's nothing not to love about Norfolk. So let's talk about the water cabin, if that's okay. So that's a 1930s building that you've renovated.
Yes.
And was it ready for lockdown? I guess I'm asking, did you go and live there? Because
no, we didn't. It's not sized to kind of like, you know, you could, it would be compact if it was going to be your primary residence. And actually, because it's a wooden shed, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's a cabin. It's not a permanent residency. So it's second property, or in this case, holiday let. Actually, just jumping a bit sideways. So the name Norfolk came from, we were going to buy a barn. and before the kids wear before SOP, because our process of being self-employed at this point was just the click that was our kind of focus. So we need a pension, and this was the concept of having a second property, be a holiday let. This is our pension, and we don't have to look at our family and hope they die so that we've got some sort of pension, which is not my hope. They have good life, long lives. So, but we, at the time, we felt like it was perhaps stretching ourselves a bit too far. We pulled out of this barn, but we had the name Norfolk, which is going to be called the Norfolk Barn. And then the children's wear was the path that we pursued at that point. The water cabin came up maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe not even that, 4 years ago on the market. But we were like, should we go and look at it? We didn't. Someone bought it, didn't do anything with it, and sold it immediately. And it was, you could put your hand through the wall, like in the lean-to. It wasn't, there was a rat in there. It had storage heaters. It didn't have central heating. It didn't have any shower.
That rat was living a minimalist lifestyle.
Oh, yes. It was grim, I think is probably fair to say. So we took it on, I think it was June 2018. The biggest problem was getting a builder to do the more structural bits because we had no insulation, and then put in new electrics. They weren't safe, and it needed heating. So there were some things that we couldn't do. Then there was things that we did do, anything that was not too craft-like. So we put in this lovely big deck in, which Bobby did, which was putting piles into the ground and cement. So we did some stuff ourselves, or we did a lot of stuff ourselves, to be fair. Took from, I think it was about June to March 2019, because 2020 was COVID, wasn't it? 2019. So we had a good year of bookings. We didn't, because I think we put on Airbnb a couple of months after that, and then a year of bookings, and then COVID, obviously. Yeah, it's been, thankfully, since we've been allowed to have it open, it's been fully booked, which is fantastic. And we've been really lucky. We've had some great publicity. So it was featured by The Guardian, been featured in Elle Decoration, which is absolutely up there. It doesn't get any better than that, if I'm honest. And Condé Nast Traveller will be doing, just sent some images today, and that will be in there in December, but will come out in November for the staycation special that's going to be on Norfolk. So I think we've kind of done the big ones now for the cabin. I mean, we toy with the to sell that and to do another one. We don't get to use it, unfortunately, as much as we'd like to, because it's just about after having some time when we didn't have guests in there. We're just grateful to have guests in there, so we're taking the bookings. It is a really beautiful space to be in. We don't have the Wi-Fi, but some guests have said, to begin with, I thought, oh, this would be a nightmare. Actually, it meant that they didn't want to go on and just mindlessly scroll, which we're all guilty of. We've got lots of books in, loads of books in there. Some of the books that I wish I'd buy books for the cabin.
Yeah, and surely that's the point. You don't want to be scrolling through Pinterest or seeing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah. You are supposed to. That's our hope. And actually, the feedback from everyone has been exactly that. We've got some board games, Pictionary, you know, if you have couples with Pictionary, Scrabble, and it's quite nice to play. I mean, personally, it's just one of those, I would never do it at home, but I went out and I actually bought the Scrabble that my grandma had. My grandma's not with me now, but I remembered playing it with her, so I found, hunt down on eBay, like the version that we used to play. So we've got, you know, Pictionary, Scrabble is what I played at her home. So they're in there for guests, and then a yoga mat was, so we've got like an improvements book and suggested there's anything that people would like to see. So actually someone raised a good point, a dab radio.
In terms of those people who, when you were talking about SOP, no, you don't know enough about it. At least now you know, you've created that and it works. And actually you could have another one. And it stopped you looking at your relatives thinking, you're not looking well. Maybe we should have another one.
So about, would have been less than a year into SOP, I got an email. First of all, it was another hotel. So they're in the South Coast, and had asked if would ever be interested in being stocked in this hotel. It was 19 bed. And obviously at the time I was like, this is fantastic. This is exactly what we want to be doing, because I should say I chose not to take on any bank loans to do this. However, I've been doing any consultancy work, because as most people listening that work in a product-based business, it's all startup costs at this point. So any consultancy work that I can do will fund the cash flow. So when this happened, I was like, fantastic, this is exactly what I need, this is brilliant. They were bartering down on every I mean, he was quite pleased on the phone telling me about how much he'd got other businesses down. And I was at this point, I was like, for the good 9-10 months I haven't taken a salary, as is perfectly normal to this chap. I thought, this is not the type of, as I said, about instincts, this doesn't feel like this is the kind of person that I want to be working with. And then out of the blue, I'm on a vegan platform, a marketplace platform, and I got an email from I can't say the company name just yet, but it's the operations director, and they are backed by one of the largest private equity investors in the world, and they have service departments. So I was asking a little bit to the operations director about, you know, occupancy rates, because obviously some hotels had to shut, and she's explained, because they're self-contained, they didn't have to shut, so anyone that's traveling for business still did could stay in them. So they had like 60 to 80% the whole way throughout. So they'd just acquired another set of service departments. departments and a light rebrand. I think some things have been announced. So in the UK, I got a casual email my week off saying we've just acquired a 100 and something bed service departments in Canary Wharf, which, you know, makes it sound like it's quite a flippant purchase. You know, I just actually do small change. So they now have 600 rooms in the UK, and I got an email when I was on holiday to say we want to go ahead with SOP being rolled out across all of them, and then it will be which will be the next cost, will be the next issue, will be obviously me scaling up to be able to get that volume. Because so at the moment I just supply one of their hotels, which is 140 beds, and I've just had, there's a few things that they're lovely, they're really nice people, and so they found me through.
That's really important, yeah. Isn't it, that you want to work with them, they're people that you can pick and choose. Yeah,
they're so lovely. And I sent, actually while she was away, I said to her, I've been speaking to a woman about it's called the SUGI project. One of the ladies in our co-working space told me about it. They develop these biodiverse forests, because a lot of people out there will say we're carbon offset. No, what that is normally mono forest. So yes, it does carbon offset, but it doesn't create habitats for wildlife. So they actually build, and through speaking to people that know how this, what types of things work together in different different environments, they build these kind of forests. So I am going to support this SUGI, whether that's a smaller donation just me, or whether I can convince the hotel firm, and then we could potentially develop one. So at the moment they've got sites in the UK, there's like one in Barking, one in Glasgow that she suggested. So that's a bigger picture. That's what I'd love to be able to do by these sort of partnerships, is to be able to, our place in the world at SOP and Centre Place and all of these things, we're not set up with the sheer purpose to make money. I mean, lovely to be able to take a salary, but if I can, if people within the chain get paid fairly, if we can then use that money to do other things with it, then that's exactly what this is, the purpose of it.
And I think that's where your passion is, isn't it? It's,
yeah,
you're creating something not because you want the Fiona empire, which amazing if that would be, you're kind of getting there, but it's from a more holistic purpose, isn't it? What does it help us to do next?
Yeah, and you know, interestingly, I spoke to Chris Sargson before this, so pre-lockdown, and I was saying I've got some ideas, and I think I called SOP River, I can't remember what I showed him now, and he was like, this all sounds great, this is great. He said, what are you asking me to do? And I was like, well, I said, I've got these ideas. Bobby said I need to start making money, but I'm not quite sure how this all works yet. And Chris was like, just keep doing what you're doing with authenticity and integrity, and you'll make sense of how it works. So it's very abstract. And what I love about Chris is he's not like, he's a businessman, but he's not like, you know, we follow these textbooks and these framework and you'll get the solution, because sometimes it just isn't the time, and that might frustrate people. But these things don't come on a, you know, some people never have an idea. Some people have tons of ideas. Sometimes there's rubbish ideas and you need to siphon those out. But sometimes you just need to sit with them for a while. And there's things I'd like to have done quicker. Like I wanted to get the candles going, but every candle company that I've dealt with hasn't been quite right. You just have to go when you know it's right. And then everything so far feels like it's slowly slotting into place.
That's one of the best things about Chris. He isn't a textbook
guy. No, which I love, yeah.
He's an ideas guy and he'll never say no. He'll just say, well, why not? And but actually, like you say, it's about timings. These timings just seem to work, don't they? They all work at the right time, as they should.
And if they're going to, and I think if they don't, I know it's easy to say everything, well, things are meant to happen for a reason, but there is, it, you know, it doesn't always feel like it. Our house sale fell through. Didn't feel like that when we lost lots of money, but I have to, you can't focus on that, because it is, you've got to keep moving forward. And interestingly, one of the things before I did SOP, so SOP I've been working on before COVID started, and I spoke to our accountants, who I'm not going to name because we're not with them anymore, and I said to them at the time, I'm not really sure whether to launch this now. I'm launching this in April when I'm homeschooling my child, but I'd been working on it for the last 6 months, you know, probably about a year, but I was like, is this the time to do it? And they told me to go and get a job, that would be a lot more, you know, obviously had no trust or faith in me, interest in me. That was enough of a little motivation, because I thought, and that's not criticism to accountants are meant to be naturally cautious, because we need the world to be different types of people. But I was like, that's not who I am. And I actually sent a CV in for a job, which is a marketing director role, and I got quite far through it, and then I sat and did like a video call with like three of my best friends and was like, should I do this? And they're like, I just don't think this is you, Fiona. So they were like, just do it, we're gonna do it. And you said about, again, surrounding yourself, like my three best friends are like our WhatsApp group, like I don't know what I'd do without them, you know, because they're all self-employed as well, and two of them have children, so they kind of understand the similar demands that we've got, and making it work and being creative and just doing what you need to do, you know, like that we have to work at all costs. We don't, but unfortunately, in the world that we've had in the last year, certainly for self-employed people that have got children at home, you just have to make it work. Whether unfortunately it's not nice, it's not ideal. I've had to get up at 5. Hopefully the payoff, and I feel like we get in there, will be that this next year should be, you know, with the hotel, should allow me to do less of the consultancy work so that I can focus more time on SOP, and then the whole thing will just kind of grow.
So you know exactly what you're capable of,
yeah.
But there's so much more that you don't realise what you're capable of. Homeschooling, I am yeah. with you. How did we yeah. do that and work full time? But we did it, and yeah. it's changed that very Victorian sense of you must work these hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creatively, you're not always on the ball, 9 to 5. It might yeah. be 11 o'clock at night. Surrounding yourself with your WhatsApp group and your friends who know yeah. you to say, don't go for that marketing job.
Yeah.
Do what you want. What's your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. Similar situation here. So it's a co-working space just off King Street, and we have 16 desks. It's a group of kind of creatives and entrepreneurs, and there is such a mix from web. There's a textile designer I'm looking at now, copywriters, another photographer, music. We've got a huge mix, and all of us, bar one or two who might work remotely for a company, we're all self-employed. I mean, they are, I suppose, to a certain extent, because they're working remotely, similar sort yeah. of process. When we were allowed to then come back, it's just things like being able to say, did you watch Line of Duty last night? What did you think happened? Having someone that's not your person at home or
yeah.
saying, what are you working on at the moment? Oh, that. And then sometimes, you know, someone got an illustrator behind who sits behind me, and Andy will say, I'm working on this. What's your first reaction to this? And likewise, I might ask someone else for an opinion. So having Studio Eden has been incredible for like me personally. So today in our WhatsApp group was bread sauce day. So we went and got some bread sauce for the people that are in today. Because not typically you won't have 16 people in all at the same time. Rarely. I mean, the most I think we've probably had is about 12. We had our first summer social, which was earlier this year, and I have to say that I was probably the most outrageous of everyone. So enough time has passed now that I feel comfortable doing the next studio in party, which is going to be October, and we've got a DJ booked for that, which should be pretty cool.
So people listening are probably thinking, God, it's really noisy there, but actually you're in the studio
yes.
in now, aren't
yes.
you? So
yeah.
And I love it because it sounds like it's your creative battery. It
absolutely.
Just recharges you, doesn't it?
Completely. I think I love my home, but when I'm at home, and I know some people don't have this luxury to be able to separate it, I'm sorry for them. I'm grateful that I have that. But being able to come here and not have to think, oh, I might just put the washing on or be distracted by that, it's really so good for my own ability to focus. Base, whilst my mind, as you can probably tell, is always on a million different things, this space is really peaceful. And as like the cabin, like our own home, it's been designed with neutrality intentionally, purposely, so that it almost doesn't act as a visual distraction. So we have, right now I'm talking to you from our kind of dining table breakout area. There's another, I don't want to make it sound grounded, it's not a big space, but we've also got sofa area, and then there's a meeting table with computers, and then we've also got our workspaces, which have got dividers up from since COVID between us, so we're kind of protected. But it's, as I say, we typically will have some music on, and then at lunchtime, you know, it's quite common that someone like Ashley might say, I'm going to go and get the pies from the Flaming Galah.
I love
pie
how
shop.
It's food based.
Oh yeah, that's a huge food
yeah.
and drinks on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Prosecco and Pringles is a Friday treat from the news agents.
Great mark done.
Yeah. yeah.
I love that creative batch that you've got there, but it's getting rid of those Brighton people, those awful accountants. You're surrounding yourself with people, like-minded
yeah.
people who just
yeah.
push you. They don't
yeah.
hold you back.
Absolutely. And it's just, we can have conversations about, I don't know, after, I love football, obviously, and after the World Cup and the horrendous racism. So we can be having a conversation about that in here, to talking about, conversation before I came on the call was, what are the best desserts that was on a TV programme that Ashley and Sarah chatted about. I think pecan was quite up there. So we can, it's just one of those spaces where, I don't know, oh, it sounds corny, but it's a bit like we're kind of all a big group of friends as well.
Makes you want to go back to art school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what people missed in lockdown, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
those water cooler chats, but where you
yes.
just turn your shoulder and go, well, what do you think? Did you
yeah.
did you play Line of Duty bingo last night? Yes,
yeah.
I won.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good to hear. So lastly, mm-hmm. and I don't know how lastly, because it sounds like you've got a million projects to come as well. Let's talk about the Left Field Football
yeah.
Collective. I love this.
Yeah, so this came in lockdown. I played for various football teams, but I also didn't find many where the men and the women integrated, and I've got friends that are gay, and it was trying to find somewhere where everybody kind of felt welcome. So I suggested it to a friend. I was like, I think this could work. We met up when the first time we're allowed to meet in a park. Are you up for it? Because I think it needs more than just me to kind of do the structure and the organising. So she was like, yeah, I could do that. So the first time we met at Eden Park, it was like five of us, and it was just females. Yeah, then sometimes a partner of someone came or someone's dad came. Fast forward to today, I think we've got 30 plus and everybody loves the branding. So we were joking on Sunday about whether to have our own merchandising shop. I'm not sure whether other people will buy it, but everyone seems to love our identity. So we've got training t-shirts with our initials on and an amazing kit. So we went to Mind and said, we're going to have a home shirt, which is this kind of really bright, vivid mint green colour. And I said, I don't really feel like today or it's appropriate to our businesses to sponsor us at this stage, which would have been the summer of last year. So I said, we've got this space, we're getting it printed anyway. Why don't we print Mind? Because a big part of what we're doing is allowing a space for people to escape there every day. And Mind was said, yeah, that sounds, they do get approached by people, but they love the ethos behind, so we're really up for supporting you. And we now, the women entered the FA's Severside League, which we started on Sunday. We got a draw. I missed. Oh, we relive in that shop where I got the post. We could have won. But anyway, we'll let that go. So we've now got a women's team in the Sevens League, and we've got a men's, we'll be entering a Sixes League in October. So, and we have like various training opportunities in the week. We've had like a barbecue in the summer at one of the guys' house who's got a place on the river, which was lovely. And we did paddleboarding. And yeah, I see most of them. So last night, just ad hoc, one of the players, Kirsten, lives not far from me. And she said, oh, do you fancy a kick around tonight? So I did once, you know, Stanley was sorted and we played over near the football club, just some shots and just having a chat about our day. And that's exactly what it's supposed to be about. You know, you can always find a team that's going to be really competitive, but left field is supposed to be somewhere where, you know, genuinely made, you know, people have made friendships. And eventually our sort of long-term plan is we'd love to be able to create a mixed league, because this does happen in other countries. And the Soccer Aid recently on television, and that was women and men playing together. It just seems that the Football Association just are anti it at this stage. I don't know if it's insurance, but that's the bigger picture, is that we can create this kind of place where everyone can feel comfortable and feel welcome. And I think there's so much more work to be done, because in women's football there are a lot of gay women that play football, and that's totally normal, and there's so much good positivity, rainbow laces. In men's football it's just awful. There's only ever, as far as I'm aware, been one out gay footballer, which is Justin Fashanu, who killed himself in the end through the I suppose like the pressure that come with doing that. Coming out. And I think in talking to Mind about it, I was like, I really feel like this is something that we need to talk about in our football club, and that was 2021, trying to fast forward, 2021. This shouldn't be a thing, and it needs to be addressed, as is racism and general inclusivity. So I think that's our sort of, obviously we don't have a manifesto, but there are things that we've got kind of sat in our values that we want to make sure that we communicate to people so that everyone feels welcome and inclusive.
It's not a manifesto, like you say. It is about inclusivity, and it's about kicking a ball, and you miss sometimes or you don't, and it's teamwork, isn't it? Whatever your team, whoever your team is, it's being part of that.
Yeah, and it's because what it is, as I said to when I spoke to Mind recently, I said, it's been great just us playing together, but we don't tackle each other as hard as you would, because tonight actually we're playing mixed at the UEA, so we do 6v6, so the men and the women we'll mix up together, but we won't tackle each other as hard because we're friends. But when we played the first game, we'd done two friendlies, we played the first game on Sunday, suddenly it was kind of not a them and us in a horrendous way when I say that, but it was like we're a team now, we're working together, because actually we can be a little bit more firmer with our challenges, because this is, we're kind of the greater good, and it's kind of our tribal instincts. And then after, as we were all celebrating, and we went, so I should say, we our home ground is actually the Nest, which is up at Horsford, which is really lovely facilities, which we played our first home game on Sunday, the ladies. And yeah, it takes it to that next level. We've got a coach now, and before we played, I said, like, it's hard for me to take a step back and go, God, this was five of us in a park, and here we are now, we're actually in a league, we're FA affiliated, we're working towards being chartered. It's actually a real thing now, we've done this, it's because of all of us. It isn't me, it's all together, it's a collective. It is football collective, yeah.
It sounds like anything you put your mind to,
no, definitely
it just
not.
Happens. But then you're surrounding yourself with the right people, aren't you? And people who share that passion as well.
Absolutely.
Well, take them down. Yeah, every game. Take them down.
We're in King's Lynn this weekend, so we've got an hour something drive. So we're getting around I think we've got some games. I think we've got a few that just crossed the border. So, you know, we're going to be getting around for our home and away games. So if there are any ladies, we're definitely open to all. But if there are any ladies specifically that are kind of new to football or want to get back into football, we had someone that came at the weekend and to her first game, and she actually previously played for Arsenal and was going to be a professional footballer, and then got an injury that set her back on her career. But that was quite a scoop to land a potentially what would have been a professional footballer. So everybody from people that never played before. So, you know, professional footballers, you're more than welcome to come and join us too.
You know, I'm getting a kind of Ted Lasso kind of coach mentality. Yeah, get them, yeah. Sign them up. Oh, well, yes. We'll pop link into the
Amazing.
Chat here.
Thank you.
And obviously, I mean, it's an incredible thing. Who wouldn't want to get involved and get muddy and mucky?
Yes.
And, you know, it's just a way of switching off, isn't it? From
it is.
All the other stuff that you have going on in your life.
Absolutely.
Fiona, I'm too scared to ask what's next for you, but what are you excited about?
So I think I kind of touched upon it already. So 2022 with the hotel, that's going to hopefully allow me to use some of the profits towards other things. And one of the moment I support a charity in London called Showerbox. So they provide washing, cleaning, hygiene facilities for people that are vulnerable and that live on the street. So I would love to do something in Norwich, and then we would provide the shampoo, the conditioner, body wash. So typically the way it works, a lady called Sarah runs it in, it's normally off Tottenham Court Road, and they do it like on a weekly basis. And obviously we'd need some volunteers that would be there to be on hand. But that's one of the things that I'd like to do, because it makes obvious sense. That's our place here, and that's if we can help vulnerable and homeless, then that would be fantastic. So that's one of the things that I'd like to do, I suppose, the outreach from SOP. There's other products, bath oil and the candles are very close. My manifesting dream would be to have a hotel. That's the dream. So a SOP house. I mean, I'd like to have Officer Giles. That's the dream, and a multifunctional space. So a spa within it. And I think like it's the similar sort style wise. It's obviously an evolution of SOP where it feels really calm and quite centered and balanced. Going there, I'd like to have alternative spa treatments in there. Obviously this is not going to be with my money but this is the kind of stuff. I have been lucky enough in the last 4 or 5 years as well, the kids, where to have had a few investors come to me, and it's more a case of like when I'm ready and I know exactly what I want and how we go about it, having that conversation. So I would, having done the cabin, I think I've got a bit of an insight into hospitality a bit more. That would be the dream. To there's a place in Antwerp, admittedly it's only one room or one apartment at the top, but they have a restaurant and then they have a live store. So I'd like to have obviously a store where it's like our sort of flagship shop where we sell this, and tea was another thing that I was really interested in, and I've been speaking to some manufacturers. So that would be this kind of holistic, you know, if you go there, you come out, you feel much better as a result. So that's obviously probably not next year.
I think you had me at Spa Hotel in Norwich.
Perfect.
Yes.
I'll sign you up.
I think everybody would love that. That just, I think you just need to invent the 10-day week. We're already living it, but if you could just pass it on to everyone else. Fiona, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
I could just talk to you for literally 10 days.
I
think everything you've built is just such a testament to your hard work and your creativity, and it's really exciting. Thank you, Essex, for giving you up.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
thank you very much. Thank you for listening, and please do join me next week. Until then, keep connecting and take care.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.